You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kasherowitz, joined by Jason Beck. And we got a lot to break down from the Tigers' perspective. Here in advance of the winter meetings, the Tigers have already made several pretty substantial moves to secure 2016 and try to get back into contention. And obviously the biggest of those was the signing of Jordan Zimmermann, 5 years, $110 million. And Beck, it was surprising to me on a couple of fronts. One, you didn't necessarily know that Zimmermann would be the first big domino to fall from the deep starting pitching market. You never know if it's going to be where the top tier goes first and then dominoes fall from there or backwards, which is, Zimmermann was probably right under those two guys in that second tier. But two, also, we weren't necessarily certain the Tigers would make such an aggressive spend. We know they need multiple fits in that rotation, so they went out and got a good one, obviously, and they committed, once again, tremendous amount of money to do so. Shows great faith in this club and in the fans and all that. What was your takeaway from the Zimmermann signing?
Yeah, I think I thought Zimmermann from the outset of the offseason could be a good fit for these guys, given the track record and kind of given the character. I didn't know if he would fit into what the Tigers would be able to spend and still keep under that luxury tax threshold. It was a surprise that not only that it got done, but that it got done this early. You know, I thought going in that Zimmermann was one of those guys who profiled as somebody who could wait for Price and Greinke to fall and then go in on the rest of the market that lost out on him and kind of swoop in and kind of benefit from those dollars. But, you know, hearing him talk yesterday and hearing what the Tigers were able to do and asking around, you know, he had an idea of the numbers he was looking for. He had an idea of where he wanted to pitch, what type of situation he wanted to fall into. And once they found a fit here, you know, they moved quickly, both sides. And I think the sense I got, too, on the flip side was that, yeah, he could have waited around and seen who else was going to be out there, but there was a risk in that, you know, we've seen in recent years guys who have lingered on that market end up going into January or February, you know, without a clear suitor, and sometimes that can backfire. You know, not maybe not disastrously from a financial standpoint, but, you know, maybe a little bit different than what guys might expect. But also, when you wait on that market, you don't necessarily get to choose where you go. Sometimes the suitors that pop up aren't teams that you might be interested in going to. So it doesn't always work out like Prince Fielder and the Tigers did a few years back. So, but they were aggressive. Al and Avila and the Tigers were aggressive in identifying who they wanted. You know, they said that he's one of the guys at the top of their list. And when they saw an opportunity, they moved in and grabbed him. You know, they didn't wait around to play and negotiate, which, give them credit. You know, they have an assistant GM in John Westhoff, who's one of the better negotiators in the business. And they were able to get something done without having to get too terribly creative.
Well, and speaking of being creative, what does the future hold now for the rest of this winter? Obviously, they were able to augment their bullpen with Francisco Rodriguez and add some depth in the outfield with Cameron Maven without going absolutely crazy money-wise. What do you think as far as rounding out this roster between now and spring training? Do you think there are other moves to be made? And if so, are they going to have to be particularly financially savvy moves?
Al Avila says they're looking for one more starter, that they're still sticking to that two-starter approach. He insists it's going to be more of a back-end type starter. They're not going to dip into that same tier that they went to grab Zimmermann. And they obviously still have some business to attend to with the bullpen. At least one reliever, possibly two. You know, they're down a lefty reliever now that they traded Ian Crow to Atlanta for Cameron Maybin. You know, whether you like Kroll's performance or not, he was a young left-hander who had projections to at least contribute somewhat to the major league staff. And so those are innings that they don't have. And more importantly, that's a left-handed arm that they don't have right now. And so they go into the season looking at, Blaine Hardy, Joe Mantiply and Kyle Ryan as their main lefty relief candidates. So I anticipate they're going to want to do something there. Al Avila says he's comfortable with the outfield mix they have right now, but he didn't necessarily say that they're done. I wouldn't rule out them maybe exploring the outfield market to see if there's a sneaky signing to be had out there. It might not be a big name like Cespedes or Justin Upton or something like that. It might be somebody, though, who can contribute and do some damage there in their lineup. They have a little bit of creativity. And also, even though they haven't used it yet, they've done so much stuff early, they have time on their side because they have that protected first-round pick.
Yeah.
Any guy they sign now who turned down a qualifying offer only costs them the third-round pick. And while you lose a little bit of salary flexibility or I guess bonus pool flexibility, when you do that, I think they're willing to do that for the right guy. And if they can get a deal that maybe goes under the radar or maybe goes under what the market expectations were, they've got some flexibility there. And as we saw in the press conference, they have an owner who isn't looking at money as a major object.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the press conference, and I understand it was pretty interesting. Mr. I got going there. Talk about that experience.
It was different. It was kind of a showstopper. We hadn't seen Mike Ilitch in a public forum, talking with the media, at least Tigers-wise, since the Victor Martinez press conference to announce his contract extension a year ago. I mean, people forget that when Al Avila became GM and Dave Dombrowski was sent packing, that Ilitch wasn't at that press conference. The only comments we got were on a press release. So this was really his first chance to, first of all, talk about the offseason, but also the whole reasoning behind the general manager change came up. And I think the famous comments now, and they're still resounding around Detroit, was that he doesn't care about the money. He still wants to spend. I think from that standpoint, he wanted to make a statement by not only showing up, but by being vocal that he still plays a major role in running this team and that he still wants to be aggressive, not looking to cut payroll, but looking to be able to fill their needs where his management team sees them. Does that mean that a $200 million payroll? I don't think that. I'd be shocked. Really, I'd be surprised if they go in luxury tax territory going into the season. But I think what it means is that, Ilitch wants to make a statement that he's got his general manager's back and that if he wants to go out and make another major signing, that money's not going to be an obstacle for them.
Yeah, and you make a great point that he made the point by showing up at that press conference saying the things he did, that he is still very much involved in this. I know there was a lot of speculation to the contrary, or at least that things were shifting away from that this summer as they made their regime change. But as we see with this signing, they are still the Tigers we've known and loved here in recent years. But that point about changing regimes and saying goodbye to Dave Dombrowski, what was Mr. Ilitch's take on that? Because it's the first time, obviously, he's had public comment on that.
Well, it was interesting. He said that both sides knew, before it all came down, that Dave wasn't coming back. He was in the last year of the contract. Ilitch said, it was already clear that, he wasn't going to be bringing him back and that he knew it and that basically they had a conversation and parted ways. I don't know if Dave sees it quite the same way. I asked Dave about it last night and, Dave's made a point, going back to the general manager's meetings, that he's put that Detroit chapter and, I guess, basically the exit, the ending in his past, and he doesn't really want to dwell on it. And to his credit, he stuck to that stance last night. I think he doesn't really want to get into a he said battle over this when the decision's already made and he's on to a new job. But when asked what the reasoning was for why he had decided that he wasn't going to be bringing Dave back, Ilitch said basically that, you know, that they didn't win and he felt like it was time to try somebody new. He expressed a lot of support for what Al Avila is trying to do and really a lot of trust. And this is the important part to me, is that he's expressing a lot of trust in the decisions that Al Avila is making. So at least right now, you're seeing Avila really getting a lot of rein here to make the baseball decisions that he wants and not get a whole lot of interference. So, you know, we're not seeing, you know, a lot of any sort of negotiations behind his back. We're not seeing a Johnny Damon saga or necessarily a go out and get Cabrera type thing. Like, you know, he's able to make the decisions he wants to make. And while he's got a lot of financial wiggle room, you know, I think he's looking to make baseball decisions to not only make this team competitive next year, but also put it in a reasonably good position for the future without having to sell the farm.
Well, if the small sample that is November 2015 is any indication, it seems like Avila and Dombrowski have at least one major thing in common, which is acting quickly on you know, identifying what their needs are, what their targets are, and then making a move for it. And even you could even extend that to keeping Ausmus. It wasn't a decision that, you know, that took a long time for him to come to there or dragged out into October. It was something settled before the season ended. Is that potentially his way of operating moving forward?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we might have talked about this before. I thought the Ausmus retention was a big statement in every, because if you remember, before that decision was made, I think maybe even 2 weeks before, there were the rumors that he was going to be dismissed at the end of the season, that the owner didn't like him.
Right.
But there was no statement out of ownership. There was only a statement from Al. And I think that was another area where the lack of public comment was really kind of created a lot of uncertainty around the Tigers, not only within the offices, but I think also around baseball. Because, you know, to a man, everybody in baseball operations said there was no leak coming from them and that there was no decision had been made from baseball operations. Well, not only the fact that Al got to make the decision, but also that Ilitch trusted in that decision, I think said a lot about the standing that Al has right now in his first months on the job. So, you know, Ilitch complimented both Al and Brad on the job that they were doing so far this offseason, which seems like a good sign for both of them. And we'll see what it means going into next year.
All right. Tigers have obviously made great strides to make 2016 a return to contention. And Jason Beck will be at the winter meetings in Nashville. We'll check back in with him from there. We'll delve into the Zimmerman signing, especially a little more in future podcasts. But thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.